And with the closing of the Pauline year just a week away, and festivities still ongoing at the beautiful Basilica of St. Paul outside the walls here in Rome, my friend Benedictine Abbot Timothy Wright invited me to reflect on another teaching of St. Paul, one that I for sure can most certainly relate to, and that is that often life just doesn't seem to work out as we expect it.
I know that men tend to look at things very logically, left brain thinking, as they say, and others, women perhaps, very good at seeing laterally how things are. But we can still have that sense that things just don't seem to be right or don't seem to be going the way we would expect. And Paul faced this a little bit, and he wrote, "Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways." Now that could be a threatening remark. Am I just a pawn being thrust around in the mind of God with no value and subject to all sorts of moments of glory and moments of depression, moments of fulfillment and moments of sadness? It can make one think perhaps the world of God is a little bit of a mess, a little bit disorganized. Where is it going? Now, one of the gifts of Paul and of the Christian view is, of course, that not everything's the same. Not everyone's like me. And that's a huge blessing. Paul writes, "There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Varieties of services, but the same Lord. Varieties of activities, the same God who activates all. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." That is a hugely important statement for all of us to acknowledge and appreciate. That whatever my gifts are, whether they're manual gifts, intellectual gifts, spiritual gifts, emotional gifts, whether they're artistic gifts, musical gifts, cooking gifts, cleaning gifts, or writing letters, whatever my gifts are, they're gifts of the Spirit. Gifts belonging to God, shared with me for the common good. And it is very important that we see all our humanity in that light. Every aspect of our humanity. Our tastes. What we like to drink. What we like to wear. What we like to see on the television. What we don't like to see on the television. Whatever values we hold. Even how we relate to others. Not just intellectually. How we welcome people with love. Put our arms around them. Give them a hug. How we reach out to people who feel alienated because they're homosexual. And find no partner. Feel frustrated without love. How we can come alongside people who are finding difficulty in marriage. Find people who have single parents, whose child is the love of their hearts and their minds and their eyes. And we think also of those who've suffered that terrible tragedy of their children dying very young, the mothers just giving birth and their child dies a few days later. Their first child, their only child. There are varieties of gifts, and we are part of that variety of gifts, wherever we are, whatever we do, because it's the same Spirit. And because there is variety of gifts, there is a certain inscrutability of the ways of God. Things don't always fit together neatly as we'd like to put them, as in a jigsaw puzzle. And we find it difficult to appreciate. Who of us will go alongside a woman who, for all sorts of reasons good to her, has just had an abortion and give her the love of God? Who of us would go alongside someone who has had the difficulty of failing as a parent to adopt a child? She's been told, because she is not married, Who of us is going to say that when you have two people wanting to adopt of the same sex, that they cannot do it, even though they're the only people who could, and you're confining the child to an institution? These are the difficult questions where gifts are so important, and the gifts are the gifts of the Spirit, gifts of God. They don't fit into neat patterns, and they don't fit into jigsaw puzzles that we'd like to create, but they're gifts, and they're gifts motivated by love and concern. So we come to that wonderful hymn, as they call it, of St. Paul, where he writes, "If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal." What does that mean? If I start with criticism, if I start with blame and condemnation, I am a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal, because there is no love in condemnation. Just think, if God didn't love us, we wouldn't exist. Because we exist, as we are, God must love us, not for us to condemn. If I have all the faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. Just think, I could spend hours of time in prayer, going on pilgrimage, and I could come down from that mountain of prayer and criticize and scold the first person I saw for not being with me on the mountain, blaming her for not coming along. I've got all the faith in the world, but I haven't got love. I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Yes, it's said in the donation world, if you're into fundraising, the real givers are the poor. Rich people give their excess, not what they need. You'll never, or very rarely, meet a rich person who gives money which is going to cost her or his standard of living. I can give away all my possessions and hand over my body, but I am not going to let my body suffer because of my giving. I do not have that love within me. So what is this love? It's patient, it's kind, it's not envious or boasting, not arrogant or rude. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. And the truth is love, caring for the neighbour. And this is a love that never ends, because once you love someone, the memory of the love remains with that person. And Paul ends beautifully when he says, "When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child." And so much of our thinking can be childish. "But when I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then we will see face to face. Faith, hope, and love abide, these three. The greatest of these is love." And it is love which promotes, encourages, enables us to do those services, to reach out to the neighbour, animated by the Spirit. And once we have that love, what is it comes into our hearts? It's the peace of Christ ruling in our hearts. And we recognise that peace of Christ, and we're able to be thankful. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. With gratitude in your heart, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God." Why? Because I've suddenly realized that in this love, this reaching out to the other person in need, whoever he or she is, I recognize that I am living the love that is Christ. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and things invisible. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven. That is the Christ who is love, the Christ whose love is unsearchable, inscrutable, but is very rich, and it contains all the wisdom and knowledge because it merges out of the love which is creating, redeeming each one of us where we are now. Amen.